We are now in the days of counting Sfiras HaOmer, the counting Sfira. And we also know that it's a mitzvah to count Sfira. The Torah says, Sfartem lochem yemochras haShabbos. You should count for yourself. Yemochras, after Shabbos, after leaving Mitzrayim, Pesach is called Shabbos. You should count 7 full weeks until Mokras HaShabbos HaShvit in the 7th week. You should count 50 days till Kabbalah Sotayim. Now, counting Sfira is a mitzvah. A mitzvah do not have to have a reason. All today's reasons given on mitzvahs, Sefer HaChinuch and others, what we have to know, that is not the essence of the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is the biggest reason, because that's what Hashem said, and it's beyond human comprehension, why, what, and when, that we're only going to see in the day, we're going to be zochah to see the world of eternity, where we're going to see our production. Every mitzvah is a production. That's the reason we make a brocha before every mitzvah. We say, Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvos, because Baruch Hu sanctified us with His commandments. It's even when He commanded us, Anetil esedayim, laniach tefillin, asfira so'imer. What does the mitzvah accomplish? It's beyond any human limited mind you should be able to understand. This is something when you have to be in the world of eternity. What is the world of eternity? That forever you're going to be shown and explained and enjoyed what you accomplished with one act which you did this mitzvah. It's as you work on a computer which has an unbelievable, unlimited program which is beyond comprehension what it produces, but you have to work, you have to push your commands, you have to push the buttons. If you would ask me, what is this button, pushing button accomplishing? It says, the printout is so big, it's so large, it's so extended, you can't get it on 1 foot. A mitzvah is the mitzvah. That's the biggest reason to do, because Hashem told us to do. Although we've been told reasons for mitzvahs, explaining the beauty of it and what's the reason of it, the chinuch, and so this is nothing more than a tip, than an extra bakshish, as they say. While you work on the computer, you should enjoy it too. It's like, for instance, you get to work on a computer, you have to work and push a certain a whole system you have to put in. It's pretty boring. You don't know what you're doing, sitting in a dark room pushing buttons. So they did you a favor, and they organize the computer while you're pushing, it's also KCO, it gives you nice tunes and nice songs, and you play with it. You play with it. You're being entertained while you do work. But you may intend to forget that you're doing work. You may think that you're playing music on a KCO. That are the time of mitzvahs. All the reasons which give mitzvahs are nothing more than a little bit of appetizers entertaining us while we do the mitzvahs. But the mitzvah in itself is the biggest reason. It's even, however, when we do something as a preparation, as a chone, and a chone preparation, then the reason is the preparation. Now, Sfiras HaOmer has two accomplishments. One is a mitzvah to count. Kach tzivani aboyre, asher yitzu mitzvah yitzvonu al Sfiras HaOmer. Period. But we also use the mitzvah, while we do the mitzvah counting 49 days, we do also the mitzvah of, we do a preparation for receiving Torah. It's an achon to receiving Torah. And to the extent that you appreciate your counting, and you do it consistently without losing a day, Sheva Shavuos Tmimos, you're connecting Yetzias Mitzrayim, you're connecting you leaving Mitzrayim, you're connecting them to receiving Torah. And that is the emphasis of the word of Lochem. Sfartem Lochem, count for yourself. For the mitzvah alone would be enough to be sold. Sfartem, you should count. You should count 7 weeks. You should count 7 days. That would be enough. What is the word Lochem? Sfartem Lochem, count for yourself. The word Lochem is extra. But there's another place in the Torah where the Lochem is being explained in another place of another mitzvah. Lekachtem lachem b'yam rishon pri etzhodar, the first day of Sukkot, you should take for yourself the 4 species, Eser Glulav, mitzvah to take the Eser Glulav. And there is also, the mitzvah is, lekachtem lachem, you should take for yourself. And there the Chachomen, learn from the word lochem, shelachem yeh. It has to be yours. If it's not yours, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Esek has to be yours. That's the lochem. So here the Chachomim gave us an insight. When Hashem says lochem means, it's yours. Now, what is it matching up with counting? You're counting days, you're not counting yourself. Then since you're counting days as a mitzvah, and you become accountable for yourself as a preparation of receiving Torah. That's the double meaning in this mitzvah of Kisvira. Sfira is a mitzvah. For that you wouldn't have to be said lochem. Svartim, Mochos HaShabbos, count days. But then it's also lochem. And that is the chona, that's the preparation of receiving Torah. And as I explained, it's an introduction. When we speak about an ochona as a preparation, then the reason is the preparation. If you don't know what you're preparing, you don't know what to prepare, how to prepare. So the preparation is usfartem lachem. You should not only count days, that's the mitzvah, but you become accountable. You account for yourself. How do you account for yourself? How do you look at yourself? What level you put at yourself, to that extent you're going to receive Torah. As the mission says, the Recheretz got Mele Torah. The Recheretz, be respectful, that's the precondition of receiving Torah. So what is the Recheretz? So my Rebbe used to say, the Recheretz of yourself. How much the Recheretz you have of yourself, that's how much Torah you will get. How do you view yourself? What capacity you acknowledge you have? How much undertaking, how much responsibilities you take on yourself. That extent you're going to get to it. I like to use the motion, the comparison. The Jewish neshama, the neshama is a vehicle. It's a vehicle. And the Torah is the fuel. You could have the most expensive, biggest vehicle. You could have a jumbo, which could carry 5,000 people. But without fuel, you could have a ship. Queen Elizabeth could carry 5,000 passengers. But without fuel, you can't carry anything. A Jewish neshama is a vehicle. And that vehicle needs fuel. And the fuel is Torah. How much Torah will you receive? Depends how you look at yourself. If you're a little motorcycle, you get 2 gallons and you could get to the other end of Israel. If you're a compact car, you could get 15 gallons. If you're a limousine, you're going to get 50 gallons. If you're a truck, you're going to get hundreds of gallons. And if you're a jumbo jet, you're going to get thousands of gallons. And the decision, who you are, that is your decision. Sfartem lochem imochlas haShabbos. What is Shabbos? Why is Pesach called in that sense Shabbos? Shabbos is an unlimited existence, an unlimited holiness, an unlimited gift. Unlimited gift. Shabbos is Kedusha de la Eilam. Kedush HaShabbos, because Boko sanctifies Shabbos. And Hashem is Ein Sof. So his production is Ein Sof. His Kedusha is Ein Sof. It's endless. But how much will you enjoy? How much you tap? How much you take off of Shabbos? Not everyone is the same Shabbos. The capacity is here, the quality is here, but you may take it. As I give you a signed check, with no limits. But how much will you cash? How much you feel in the number? If you're feeling 1,000, that's what you're going to get. If you're 100,000, a million, a trillion, that's what you're going to get. Shabbos is a signed open check. How much will you get of it? How much you use it? How much you identify yourself with Shabbos? Shabbos, we received Pesach. We have been chosen as being the children of Hashem, and we got the exclusivity of the Nishmas Yisroel, which is a chelik elokai mimah, which is a part of Hashem. That we all got by Yetzias Mitzrayim. The simplest Jew, the biggest Jew, had this unlimited potential to identify himself being as a part of Hashem. How much will you be a part of Hashem? That will depend how much you tap. How much you materialize? How do you view yourself? You could be a little Jew if you consider yourself being a little Jew. You could be a high Jew, a bigger Jew, a deeper Jew. And you could be Moshe Rabbeinu. And that decision is only yours and nobody else's. I would like to give you a very basic introduction, which is a very important introduction. You have to understand who are you, what you choose to be, not what Hashem makes you to be. Hashem gave you the potential, but He does not make you. You're only going to be as much you want to be. That's a Maral. The Maral says, Pesach, Hashem redeemed us. Ashego olonu. From Hashem's part, He redeemed you. You got a total redemption. You became totally free. It's there. It's a signed open check. How much are you free? How much you materialized your freedom and you left? And how much you left? How much you wanted to leave? And if you didn't want to leave, Hashem's redemption was worthless. Just people sit in a prison. They got life sentence, a death sentence, whatever they got. And I came and I intervened and I redeemed them. I redeemed them. I got them. And the gates are open. How much will he get from his freedom? As much as he's going to leave. If he chooses to sit and continues to stay in prison, that's the way he's going to stay. There's a geula and there's a yetzir. There's a redemption and there is a leaving, a departure. Zog de Meral, the redemption was from Hashem, and therefore every Jew is redeemed. The departure is you, and you only depart as much as you materialize that redemption. If you see it, Mitzrayim is your obligation. Therefore, that's the meaning, the simplest meaning, which the Mishnah says, B'chodor v'dor, every given generation. Today, Chayev Odom, a man is requested and required. Leroy says, ask me to see himself, Kiluhu Yotzas, he is living Mitzrayim. You have to view yourself an obligation. I have now an obligation to leave Mitzrayim. And it's not gusmos, it's not just talk, it's reality. In other words, I'm a part of the redemption which took place 3,300 years ago. I was there. My neshama has been redeemed. But I never departed. Depart every generation, every time, and every day. It's your potential to take advantage of that redemption. Leave. And whatever you left today, it's an accomplishment for today. But tomorrow grow, leave even furthermore. Upgrade your departure. You could upgrade it. And that depends only on you. And but the main thing which I would like to emphasize, Hashem will not intervene with a man's decision. You are what you choose to be. That is called Bechira Choshes. And Hashem takes the consequences, Hashem takes the suffering, Hashem says, I worked for you, I redeemed you. What didn't I do to prove myself? And you didn't take any advantage of it. And that's the best proof. We were in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim captivated us. Was Shibut Hadas. Shibut Hadas means your mind was imprisoned. They bamboozled you. They didn't let you think reality free to see. As today, the media, the world bamboozles us. We just totally corrupts our mind. And we can't think clearly, freely, understand, have an objective perspective about anything because we all bribed and possessed by the effect which they affected us. That is Mitzrayim. You're captive. You haven't got freedom of mind. And what did Hashem do to open it? To break all the barriers, all the hypocrisy, all the stupidity. We do, we accomplish. And Hashem broken down to the core. So the makas, 10 makas. Every makas, every plague was actually destroying argument, which they said we're independent of God, we could do what we are, Hashem, who is God, we could do whatever we want. Hashem, yes, Hashem created the world, but now we could use it. So Hashem did everything to prove to us that you could get out of this captivity. You don't have to be a victim of the hypocrisy which they imposed on you. And in the end, after a whole year, every month, a makkah comes to the ninth market, the darkness, when you literally see the Egyptians are all frozen, stiff, they can't move, and you have light, and you could do anything what you want. You see the bankruptcy of the whole system, as today you see the bankruptcy of the whole free world system. Nothing works, not socialism, not capitalism, not Zionism. Everything is bankrupt. The Shem destroyed them. And now the time comes, you have to elect. No, are you willing to go with God? Are you willing to go with Hashem and trust Hashem and to be totally in His hand? Or you still want to be in the driver's seat? As the Mitzri claimed, he's in the driver's seat. See, there's no driver's seat here. And then in that ninth plague, 80% decided not to leave. They still want to have a little holding on the driver's seat. And they died, they passed away. Why? Because they can't say, you're a Jew. You belong to the promise of Avraham Avinu. And if you don't do it on your own, that you come out and come with Hashem, Hashem takes you away. It's not a punishment, it's a result. Because you have no right of existence in Mitzrayim. Either you become free, either you disappear. Eventually, one day they're going to come back. So the Mashiach will come. And Yidochim Be'eretz Mitzrayim goes on, the 80% is going to come back. But you could see, what is the main message? The Shem does not interfere with your decision. You are what you choose to be. Now, the 20% you did came out, they didn't come out the same level. They also came out, and I would divide them in four categories. In four levels they came out, which are the Arba Bonim, which you just heard say tonight, the four children sitting at the Seder table. The lowest level, the Rosha, higher level, the Elishon, higher level, the Tam, and the highest level is the Choch. Those are the four levels. In other words, they came out, they gave, they utilized their redemption to four different levels. Let's call the four levels in four names, which we are accustomed to know. One, the lowest name, Ami Atam, you my nation. Take a typical secular Jew who doesn't perform mitzvahs in anything. He's not committed to any performance of the Jew, but he's committed to his Jewishness. He identifies himself as a Jew. He wouldn't assume it, he wouldn't marry a God. He knows he's a Jew. I belong to the Jewish nation. With what? That's it. That's enough. Identify, I go to the Seder, I go to Yom Kippur, I give money tonight to Jewish appeal, I support Israel. That's enough. All the second people going around with the flags, Yom Ha'atzmaut. What are you Jewish? I belong here. Ami, I belong to the Jewish nation. It's an identity. Still better than the one who marries out and doesn't want to know anything about Jewishness. A total atheist. That's the lowest level of a Jew. Ami, that's the Russia. Russia says, my void is Aslachem. I have to do mitzvahs. Not enough, I'm a Jew. I suffer up because I'm a Jew. Shem needs my mitzvahs. My void is Aslachem. But he still sits at the Seder table. He's a Jew, comes to the Seder. That's the lowest level Jew. I mean, he utilized the redemption of Hashem, which is the highest redemption, to the minimum rights as a Jew. That's all what he used, his leaving Mitzrayim, to acknowledge himself, I belong to the Jewish nation. And that's it. A higher level, Avodayatem, you my slaves. Avdus, okay. If I'm a born Jew, obviously I have obligations, and I'm forced to do it. It's chavoy, it's punishment. I fear God, I see this punishment, the Torah says very clearly. So I have to pay my responsibilities. That's a higher level. It's not the best, but at least he's committed to mitzvahs. Whenever he could get out, by himself out, he tries. He tries to go coolers or light, easy, modern orthodoxy, whatever that is. He tries to get it the easiest way, but he knows he has to do something. He has to keep Shabbos, the minimum. That's called the Eved, a slave. He's not happy to be a slave, but he is. He can't help it. A higher level. Boni matem shilu, children to Hashem. A child, that's a habit, that's love. A child doesn't do because he gets paid, doesn't do bad things but gets punished, not because he doesn't want to hurt his father. And he does more than his father. A servant, a slave, if the master tells him, bring me a glass of water, brings him a glass of water. That's what you wanted, that's all I have to do. But the father says to son, can you bring me a glass of water? And the son happens to know the father likes Coca-Cola or coffee. Instead of water, he's going to bring him coffee. So I didn't ask for coffee. He says, Daddy, I know you're thirsty. I know you love coffee. All you have to know that you need, you're thirsty. He brings coffee, that's a child. He doesn't want reward. He's not afraid of punishment, that's not the issue. The issue is, I don't want to hurt my father. That's a third level. And the highest level is, B'nei B'chayri Yisrael, that I'm your only son. Why is my only son? I take responsibility for the entire creation. B'shvil Nivra, the whole world has been created for me. As the Mishnah says, Lama Nivra Odeh Mechid, why did God create only one man? The whole world is given to one man. Shechai Vodor, a person is required to say, Shvinyon, the world dedicated for me. I'm the purpose of creation. And therefore, if I goof, I destroy the whole world. Other Marishim, when he goofed big, he destroyed the whole world. He destroyed Hashem's human beings. Hashem gave him potential that you're my companion, you're my partner, with you I want to share my creation, you're my wife, you're my lover. But he gave freedom of choice. I can't force it on you. And if you don't want to be it, you're not going to be it. And he didn't want to be it. He wanted to be independent of Hashem. And what happened then? Okay, he got what he wanted, but Hashem lost everything. He lost the whole world. Hashem says, oh, look at the beautiful world which I created. So was given to you. You my reflection. You my tzelem elokim. You my image. You my partner. And Hashem begs him, ten davko, pay attention, al tekalko v'tachel soroni. Don't destroy my beautiful world, pay attention. And what did he do? He destroyed it. Why? Because he doesn't want to be responsible. He doesn't want to carry the whole world on his shoulder. I want my independency. That's the capacity of man. All along from history, from day one creation, and the formation of the Jewish nation in the Mitzrayim, you see, Hashem never twisted anyone's arm to decide who you want to be. All Hashem did, gave me the opportunity to make an objective decision. No person could say, it was beyond my capacity to choose because I didn't see God. He saw God. But after seeing God doesn't mean that you have to choose him. And you could say 80% chose to make the all not to be. In the other 20%, we came up in four different levels. And if you see all along in the desert, every time they had a little problem, someone said, let's go back. Now, we should go back to Mitzrayim. It's better to be Mitzrayim to be here. Every time that something was a puncture, they complained. Because you only appreciate who you are as much as you appreciate who you are, but if there's complications and there's discomfort, says Avisha would have never come out. They were right. The golden calf was also, every sin which they made in the Nivra, in the desert, was also done in different levels. There was the Avison, the Roshon, Dosam Aviram, he came out, he's the Roshon. He's not willing to meet himself anything, so now if I'm Jewish, that's it. So therefore, they always give trouble. But the highest level is B'nai B'chori. I'm your only child. And the only child has a total different accountability with his parents. They make a family of 10 children. No child feels that I carry my parents on my shoulder. I have 9 siblings. If I goofed, if I'm not the best child in yeshiva or in business, whatever that is, in marriage, okay? So they have nachas from the other children. No child has to carry the burden to be correct in order not to cause pain to the parents, because parents have enough nachas with all the 9 siblings. But when you're the only one child, and your any little thing affects your parents, to the good or to the worse, you have different responsibilities. You carry your parents on your shoulder, the whole world. That's a big responsibility. Now, we said in the beginning, Torah is the fuel which gives you the capacity to deliver what you undertake. How much you undertake? According to your view, is the Recheretz, Kodmer HaTorah, how much the Recheretz you have of yourself? Who am I? Am I a born Jew and that's it? Or am I a slave? Or am I a part of the family? Or am I the only one child and the whole world is based on me? Yes?
Chayli,
what I'm
saying is Yechidi, right?
Chayli
is the firstborn,
no? Yes. Because as long as he's the firstborn, he's only the one. That's, the Maral says, the B'nai B'chayli means the firstborn. Firstborn means there's no second. He's the one. And that, by the way, the Mishnah says, the Fikach Nivra Odem Yechidi, why Hashem Ketan, Shechayv Odem Loim, a person is required to say, you always have to say, you the Bukhara of Hashem. I added a new insight to it, which is according to this morale, what I made my own survey, and I think I'm 100% right. The morale says, the other significance of a Bukhara is that Israel, Afa Pishachot Israel, a child is a child regardless of what, even a saint. Hashem will not give up on a child. But when you consider yourself being the only child of Hashem. Now, when there is bonim, when you are a part of a family, let's say there's a family of 10 children, okay? So every child has his level, whatever he gives. Suppose you would love to have another child. And you go to a tzaddik, says, give me a brocha, I want another child. And the tzaddik says, okay, I'll give you a brocha, but you should know the child that you're going to get is going to be Down syndrome. It's going to be vegetable. What would you say? My full time is, I have children, I want a normal child. If not, I don't need it. That's what you say. You would only take other child if you enjoy it. But take, that's my survey which I made. Take a couple, a childless couple, and they die to have a child. And they come to Tzaddik, give us a brocha to have a child. You will tell them, I could give you a child, but the Down syndrome child, so give me anything, this should be a life child. Give me a vegetable. Who is adopting all these children in the hospitals who are being abandoned by the parents? Childless people. And they love those children. They love them more than anyone loves normal children. It's a fact. Why? Because the first child, we don't bring a child into the Nusa because I want the child, the sweet child should give me. I need a child to give. I have to, the nature of goodness is bestow goodness. That's the whole Tzelem Elokim, the image of God which we have in ourselves. Why did God create us to be given? Because he wants to share himself with us. He wants to, when Nivra Odom, Elitim, Sanig, Hashem, even created Hashem wants to give. He wants to give. Netto giving, giving for the sake of giving. I think we to Hashem are worse than a Down syndrome child or vegetables. He still created us. Why? He enjoys us. This is called Nibah Choyri. The first child you die to have, not because the child is going to give you something, because I have an opportunity to give him. You're utilizing it, Tzelem Elokim, your act of giving. That's the beauty. So if it's regardless who the child is, the child could be a vegetable, the child could be totally, it doesn't matter. The opposite. The more innocent, the more nebby the child is, the more I could give. The more, therefore we love those children the most. You should know children who give you nothing and you keep giving, giving, those are the most loved children because that's Hashem, that because here you're expressing it, Tzelem Elokim. Hashem created us to be a giver to us. Have we been children with what we also get married? That's the prophecy of marriage too. Therefore, when you're getting married, you're not getting married to receive, you're married to give. You're reflecting the Tzelem Elokim, that's the proper way. You look at your wife as your child. And you love your child, you love your wife unconditionally, just like you love your child unconditionally. But today there's such a sick world, such a crazy, selfish world, they deny that Tzelem Elokim. They don't love even the children selflessly. They don't love them. They don't love the children either. I came to my mind, so I will share it with you. I was all my life in business. But in business, I did a lot of kiruv. So anyone who came in contact with my business, you know, he thought that my connection is business, but we tried to sell Yiddishkeit. I was in real estate. It's still a business. I'm no longer tied, but it's still a business. It's a real estate broker. Chuck Dick Slayton is his name. So once he calls me up, I have a property for you in Pennsylvania, and so, and he sends me the listing. I want to take you down. You have to see the property. It's okay. A long trip, 2-3 hours driving, driving on Jersey Turnpike, Pennsylvania Turnpike. He tries to sell me real estate, and I try to sell him Yiddishkeit. Most of the time, they did a better job than I. They sold me more real estate than I was capable of selling them Yiddishkeit, but sometimes I also succeeded.
That's because he can kind of tie with one foot.
So I argued. I told him, listen, Judaism is not a religion. Judaism is humanity. If you're not practicing Torah, you're not only not a Jew, you're not a human being. You're not a human being. You haven't got a goy, yes. A goy could be a nice, decent goy without Torah. A Jew cannot. Because we are compared either to the stars, either to the sand on the beach. Chazal tells us, Imoyim, if you do Torah, you become the star. You're navigating the world. You're showing the world. You're leading the world. If not, everyone steps on you. You have no rights. A Jew has no rights in this world. It is a malach, it is an animal. Either the slaughter is an animal, either you are a malach, either you are a star, either you are sand. That's a Jew. The difference when a Jew is not practicing Torah, he lost his humanness. He says, come on, what are you talking about? Zichem, you have children? Of course I have children. You love them? Of course I love them. Zichem, you don't love your children. And we get in that way, you love yourself. You're not loving your children, you're just loving yourself. You love your children, they love fish. So you eat fish, you cook them. Why do you cook them if you love the fish? Put them back in the water. You're using fish, you're using your children too. As long as it gives you something. But you love children because you give. They're giving you, if not, they haven't done. I get up and down, up and down. No, I do love my children. Come on, you're exaggerating. You know, I love my children. So Hashem sends a messenger for me. All of a sudden, we're tailgating a car. In front of us is a bumper sticker. So Dick, look at the bumper sticker. What does it say? What did it say? Had you hugged your child today? Have you hugged your child today? So Dick, look at this. Would you ever believe 50 years ago that you have to be reminded on the Pennsylvania Turnpike to hug your child today? And then I heard, I don't watch television. I know television is in television. It's to be evident. You also know. Do you know where your child is? Had you hugged your child today? You have to remind it on television, on bumper stickers, that's a child that you are selfish. So what are you talking about? You love your children? You go every night, you have a program, here playing cards, here going to restaurants, here going playing bowling, and your children babysit the television with videos, and then you worry, 16-year-old daughter should become pregnant, and teach them how not to. That's all what you, you're selfish. You're totally selfish, that's what you are. And yet you agree, and then you agree with me, that there is no love to them. Because we deny that Selim Elohim. We don't want to see people, don't want children. And even every child, the way they treat the child, it's an opportunity to give, it's an opportunity to be devoted, a commitment. And that's the Chonetz HaKabbalah HaTorah. Hashem gave us a neshama which is unlimited. That's the Shabbos of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He gave us fuel, which is the Torah, which is unlimited, which is the Shabbos of Matan Torah. Kila al-Mamoyed v'Shabbos Nitorah, this Mochosh HaShabbos HaShvi. Just like the world was created in 7 days, the Shivas Yemei HaBin in a structure. We're not going into the Kabbalistic end. The spheres, the 7 spheres, which is the Earth, is Chesed, Gvura, Teferis, 7 days. And the final thing is Malchus. Malchus says we make Hashem king. When do we make Hashem king? When we utilize the deepest capacity of our neshama, which is Pesach, which is a total redemption, and we upgrade ourselves day by day, 49 steps going up and up and up and up, upgrading and appreciating our neshama to come to the top until it becomes totally one, as our demolition was one, and now you get the unlimited fuel which is Torah. That's the 7th to the 7th. Sheva Shabbos is Tmimoistia. We have 7 weeks. In every week you count, 7 times 7 is 49, that's the 49 days. Then you get the Chamishim, the 50, 50 is eternity, says the Maral as 8. You're going into the endless, unlimited capacity. And that's the Chonetz to receive Torah. How much will you tap into the unlimited source of wisdom of Hashem, which is Torah? How much you acknowledge your neshama to be? How about part of Hashem am I? And there's many levels, and there's 4 main basic levels, which we said already before. The lowest level is, I belong to the Jewish faith, and that's it. Or higher, that you committed to serve Hashem because you have no choice. High, because you belong to the Jewish family, born in Matem. And therefore, you love Hashem, but you don't take full responsibility for the whole world, or you can still say, B'nei B'chai B'Israel. And the Chiddush which I discovered to myself, which is actually, it's there. Sfasem speaks about it, but in the Mosin. We are accustomed to know, when we got the Chinuch, there's room to grow in Torah, there's room to know in Mitzvah, there's room to know in Yiddishkeit. Steigen, yeah, we know about it. What we never knew, there's room to grow in the essence of a Jew. Can you upgrade your position as a basic data, the data? Let's say, in the modern technology, you have a computer, and you have a program, and let's say the program is the deepest, most unlimited program which there could be. But in order to run the program, you need really a heavy-duty hardware. I need another thousands of gigabytes to have the capacity to run this program. Now you got a computer. Now a computer could be upgraded. You buy extra brain, extra data. If in 20 gig you go into 40, 40 to 80 and so on and so on, and the more gigabytes, the quicker and faster the biggest capacity is to utilize the program. And Shoma is a hardware. It could be upgraded. According, you appreciate the program which is the Torah. The Torah is written by Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's his program. What has to be utilized has to be developed. In other words, Asher Kiddushoni. Here is a Jew, Reuven is putting on tefillin, it makes a bracha. Asher Kiddushoni, Yobim, Mitzvos, Mitzvot, Laniach tefillin. You sanctified me, gave me a commandment to put on tefillin. When he fulfills the mitzvah, he learns Torah. Obviously, he's stepping into the program, and he has a certain base of a gigabytes on his neshama. And the capacity of that neshama develops that mitzvah, develops that production. How much is neshama is? Sfartem lochem, v'mochlas haShabbos. You had a Shabbos behind you. Shabbos means the neshama is unlimited. But now you have to come to it. You have to leave. You have to utilize it. You have to upgrade your neshama. There's unlimited potential to upgrade your neshama every day. In other words, I'm not a Jew of yesterday. The Jew of yesterday is already a goy. You have to be a new Jew today. Therefore, make a bracha every morning. Shloi sani goy. Didn't make me a goy. Why make every day shloi sani goy? The answer is because the Jew of yesterday today is a goy. You have a new growth, you have a new room to grow. Had you grown? Had you utilized your growth? Sfatim lechem become accountable. That's the absolute truth. And when you know, it's a totally different, you have an appreciation of yourself, because, and if your goal is to reach the highest, means, b'nei b'chayri, I'm your only child, I'm fully responsible for you, and therefore, I appreciate myself, no matter even I'm a vegetable, I could be Down syndrome, because the b'chayri is appreciated no matter who he is. Hashem says, hafapi shechot Yisroelu. That is kabbalah samach u'shamayim. Every morning and every night, we begin our cycle of the production. What Hashem is giving us, Kadosh Shem Rukorim Rabba Munasech, again a new day. We start with Adam v'Shma. In Shema, there's two commitments that we undertake, two undertakings. One is Kabbalah Salmach Hashemayim, Shema V'Ohavto, and the second, Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, what Yishma Mitzvah said, and Torah. What does the do? The first one is, you have to acknowledge who you are. Are you willing to take on the yoke of heaven to upgrade your responsibilities? Are you willing to upgrade your responsibilities? Are you willing to upgrade your neshama? Take advantage of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. By the way, Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim is Gelus, is conversion. The Gemara in Yevamos learns all Hilchas Gelus from Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. Now there's a different way how to approach, to tap in to your upgrade of your quality neshama than to the commitment to upgrade your quality of Torah. The second commitment is the Tishma Mitzvah side, that's Torah Mitzvahs. Maybe I would paraphrase it in a different way. Two, edit. Our religion has two names. It's a basic for that I have a Chavos Das in Megillah. But the Sehem Shoinois has been told on us that to our religions, the Sehem, glory. Says the Bianca Melissa, why call it the Sehem? We have only one Das, we have only one religion. Says our religion is divided into two functions. One is Das Moshe, that is called Das Yehudis. Das Moshe, what Moshe gave us. The second is Das Yehudis. Who are you as a Jew? Das Yehudis and Das Moshe, there are two, and the total. Das Moshe was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. He took us out of Mitzrayim, he gave us Torah, gave us mitzvahs. What is Das Yehudis? Who gave you Das Yehudis? You took it yourself, you chose it yourself. And if you did it, you have it. If not, you don't have it. Torah mitzvahs you have, if you like it or not, it has been imposed on us. Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim, you became a Jew. Who became a Jew? If you decided to become. If you didn't, if you elected not to become, you stayed there, you stood behind, you got lost. And what kind of Jew you became? Whatever you decided to be. What level you came out? Am, Eved, Bonim, or Bnei Bechori? And you are what you choose to be. That's Das Yehudis. Das Moshe doesn't depend on you. It was imposed on you. Kofer Emarki Gidius. You're a Jew. You're being punished for that. It could very well be, I'm saying it in a skeptical way, you may not be punished for not upgrading your Das Yehudis. Because then you could say, I'm innocent, I didn't know that I could do it. You're definitely being punished if you didn't utilize Das Moshe. You have responsibilities. And I'm saying it purposely. Because Das Yehudis cannot be imposed. Because Das Yehudis means, that's my commitment to Hashem. And based on that, I say, Hashem, give me mitzvahs. In other words, marriage cannot be forced. Can you upgrade a connection, a marriage? Can you upgrade a marriage in the commitment? Usually not. Chos and Kale, they got married, they committed themselves, they stood on the chuppah, bingo, they committed, finished, they married. You could only get away with a get. Can you remarry each other every day? Can you deepen that commitment? Can you take the chuppah with you and grow with it all the time? No. You became engaged, you got married, you committed, and now performance. In performance, it's up and down, and up and down, and up and down, and you have to perform, you've been punished and performed. Suppose we could remarry each other every day. Imagine standing on either chuppah every day, make a new commitment. That cannot be forced, because even the first marriage was not forced. It has to be your choice. Hashem cannot have Das Yehudis. How much do I appreciate my relationship with Hashem because I'm his child, I'm his wife? That cannot be forced on you. Even the first marriage cannot be. So I say, those Jews who didn't leave Mitzrayim and they died, They didn't commit any avera to me. Didn't commit any avera. Just they lost out. Because that's the freedom of choice means that I can't commit you. What kind of Jew are you as an essence? What kind of marriage do you have with God is up to you. Hashem can't force you, can't command you, please be the nicest wife. I don't want to be your wife, you can't. That's Moshe is already a fulfillment of your commitment. You became a Jew. So now you have regulations, you have to do it. If you don't do it, you're being punished. Yitzias Mitzrayim is Das Yehudis. And here is a beautiful insight that Yitzias Mitzrayim is relevant today. You could upgrade your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu today. Let's speak practically. Take about Shuva. First time he got exposed to Judaism, to the truth. Whatever the reason was that he made a decision to abandon his past, his parents, his society, his careers, and becomes a full-fledged committed Jew. What was his first impression on Judaism which made him to become a Jew? And it wasn't simple. He made a tremendous commitment, abandoning his parents, abandoning his careers, abandoning everything. But what was it based on? What made him to make that decision? A very minimal exposure to Judaism. And it was strong enough already to take on commitments and to give up everything which you had. But if you go to the first database, what made you to make the commitment was a very childish exposure to Yiddishkeit. But when you come deeper into Yiddishkeit and you start learning Torah, and you master the Masechta, and you know a Rashba, and you know a Bekiva Eger, and you go Meshiga about Torah, and you feel a taste of a mitzvah, you feel a taste of a Pesach, and you go deeper and deeper, can you match in any comparison the appreciation of being a Jew, what you got now, to the first impression, what made you to become a Jew? The first impression made me become a Jew was maybe not because I'm so impressed about Judaism, because there's no other way to live, because there's nothing else to offer. The world has nothing more to offer. The world is a lost world. And you see a little bit, you know, take a little child and show him any little technology, gets all wow. As he grows, doesn't mean anything anymore. What I'm trying to say, if the first revelation to Judaism, which is minimal to the real revelation to being a Yid, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kol Amarbe Lesaper Harizeh Meshubach, what does it mean? Kol Amarbe, the more you talk about it, the more deep it is, what is a mitzvah, what is a Jew, what I'm giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I'm giving to Kodesh Baruch Hu, I will take the right to say, even us today, the Haredi Torah world, which Tamid HaChomem and Oivde Hashem Be'emes and loving Hashem, and still didn't dwell into the point of B'nei B'chayin Yisrael. Wow, Adu Chesed with Hashem. Hashem is committed to me. Hashem is everything for me. If I goof, I destroy the world for Hashem, no less than other Marishan. Kol Ma'abed Efesh Achas, we don't take it that way. Or if I give Hashem a Jew, I give a whole world, I'm excited, I'm besimcha. Which is there's so much room to grow. Because everything which we do, the performance, is based on a commitment which I did yesterday. But that is minimal to the commitment which I could do today because I got a deeper insight, a deeper taste of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore the question comes, what are you willing to pay to be a Jew? What are you willing to give up to be a Jew? And that our model is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu gave up everything. He could have been a Nimrod, he could have been a Terach, and he could have been Noach HaTzadik. He could add, there's a three-pronged relationship to the creation which Avraham Avinu was exposed to. A Nimrod, compete with God himself, I'm God, and capture the whole world underneath you. That's the capacity for man. Nimrod did it. Shehimil the scholar Elam Kulay. The Gemara says that there were a few people who reigned over the whole world as a king. One of them was Nimrod. And not as a king, as God. They worshipped him. Wow, a capacity. A man could go with his ego and compete with God himself. That's to that extent freedom of choice goes. Could have been a Terach, which makes everyone happy. I'm okay, you're okay, creates religions, philosophies. and exploiting the people, making money on them, selling getchkes, selling idols, selling values, whatever that is. And he could have been a very nice, pious man, tzaddik, tomim, Noach saves the world, but still a Noach, still a goy. And he realized that my choice, I see a three-pronged choice where I could go from extreme to extreme, still does not satisfy my potential. Until he discovered my potential, I'm not only a child, I'm the only one child. Bishvil and Yivra'oila, Echot Avram. And if Adam, the first man, which all well knew history, he hijacked the world from Hashem, he destroyed the world, and it went as far as that Nimrod continues to hijack him, and Noah exploits this tzidkus only for himself, but he doesn't know what he could give back anything to Hashem to build back the world. Avraham Avinu said, if you could hijack the world from Hashem, why can't you bring the whole world back to Hashem? Avraham Avinu discovered that I could do chesed with Hashem. Chesed, she was chesed in koinah. That made Avraham Avinu. And this is the same thing today. I can't be satisfied. I don't practice my performance as a Jew based on my yesterday's commitment, which tempted me to be religious. That's childish to compare what I know today. Do you upgrade your insight? But what price are you willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay? And then I will tell you what prices we may have to pay. When you say every morning Shema, what do you say Shema? It's a commitment to Judaism. It's not a commitment to Torah mitzvahs. That's Asmoshe, the second part. But Yishmael Mitzvah, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Shema is individual. What have to you love? Shema is all individual. That's Yehudis. What quality Jew am I? First, you have to acknowledge your quality as a Jew, not your performance as a Jew. Are you going to read the chuppah? Are you making a new commitment in a marriage, a new connection? That's Shema. Kabbalah Sabbat Shema. How do you do this? So before you say Shema, first you acknowledge one reality, which you may not know why, but it's a fact. Hashem loves me. Baruch Atah Hashem Oy Ram, because Baruch Hu loves me. That's the first thing that you acknowledge. Baruch Hu Ram Yisrael V'Ahava. If you don't acknowledge that Hashem loves you in an endless love, Ahavas Oy Lama Avticho, Ahavo Rabo, that you love me endlessly, Chem Lo Gedol Yisrael Chomal Toleinu. Why you love me? Because I'm a child of you, a child of Hamitzi Yankov, and you promise, and so on so. If you don't acknowledge, before you go to make a commitment, that I love you, Hashem, at any cost, at any price, it's no way that you could make that commitment unless you acknowledge Hashem loves you. Unfortunately, many people really feel that Hashem does not love them. Hashem abandoned them, he's a nebuch, he don't know why, and so on so. How can you love Hashem? How can you love Hashem? So when a Kali commits herself to a chosen, she has to really believe the chosen loves her, and the love of the chosen is fully committed to the Kala. Based on that, she will commit herself to the chosen. Shema is you going into the cheder yichud, and I'm committing myself for Hashem, and I'm willing to leave the world behind and making commitment to Hashem. Why? Because I know Hashem loves me endlessly. Hashem loves me as a bechor, as a firstborn child. No matter who I am, Hashem still loves me. I could be a vegetable, I could be a sinner, but I know Hashem loves me. But Shem Tov said, Hashem loves more the worst Jew than I love the biggest Jew. The biggest tzaddik doesn't come close. I loving the biggest tzaddik doesn't come close to Hashem's love to the worst Jew. That's a fact. It's to say, in Kriyas Yamsuf, the Medrash says, you know, every story the Medrash says has a teaching. So in Kriyas Hashem speaks the Red Sea, says the Medrash, when the last Jew came out of the Yamsuf, the last Egyptian came into the Yamsuf. The last Jew departed, the last Egyptian came in. What is the message in here? Who is the last Jew came out of Yamsuf? The worst Jew. Doesn't believe the schlepper. He really didn't want to leave. The last minute he decided to schlep him along. He's the last Jew who comes out of the Yamsuf, right? Doesn't believe. He's the last schlepper. Who is the last Egyptian comes into? The nicest Egyptian, the biggest star. He really didn't want to chase the Jews, but he schlepped him along. What does the story tell us? That Hashem is drowning the best mitzvah for the worst Jew. I have a son in my life, because he loves us endlessly. So now can you commit yourself to love Hashem? And you say, Shema is Hashem, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one, and I'm one with you. And you say, I have to Hashem, I love Hashem. B'chol avof, with both of your hearts, even with your Yitzhar Hara, even takes your life away. He tortures you. B'chol medecho. It's all your money. B'chol medecho davaracha. B'chol mida mida shema. No matter what it imposes on you. Have a moed. Thank you very much. That's a commitment. I'm willing to take on the unbearable, most unbearable pain just to deepen my commitment to Hashem. In other words, our marriage, which the first conversion took place in Tzius Mitzrayim, is still going on today. You still have to upgrade it. And every morning, every night. So why do you have to do it every morning, every night? Because you have to pay a price for that. To prove that you love Hashem unconditionally. So what do you do? Baruch Hashem went through a day. A little, you have new commodities, new money, new yisurim, new pain, discomfort that you had. It's also giving up for Kodesh Baruch. We grow in this Odom La'om Alilot. We're toiling in this world. It's not easy. It's not a picnic. And every added toil, every added disappointment and pain and things like that which you have, use it as a currency to make a deeper commitment to Hashem. I'm paying for you this. I'm paying for this. So I will tell you a story which took place some time ago in America, 23, 24 years ago. There's a law if you convert a little child, if you adopt a Goy's child, convert the child, the baby, the infant, and he's a convert unconditioned. Until he becomes a Goy, becomes Bar Mitzvah, then you have to let him know that you have been converted, and he has to acknowledge his conversion. And if he doesn't acknowledge it, then his conversion is neutralized, it's worthless. He's a Goy. He can't impose to be Jewish on a person. He has to be chosen by him. So you do it unconditioned as a child. But then the last word is when it becomes an adult. That's what usually we do. Child becomes a mitzvah, bas mitzvah, let him know. Usually they accept him. I don't know if it's a trick, I don't know what they're accepting. But anyway, it's a good one. Technically, it's a Jew, Finch becomes a Jew. He can't get out. Story was, a couple adopted the child. They made a big mistake and came by mitzvah. They didn't want to let him know because they didn't want to confuse the child. Child didn't know they adopted the child. And he went through the whole Shiva system. I think he learned the Lakewood, there's a nice yeshiva bochur, a lamba, a nice, good, regular boy. No, it comes to Shiduchah. You have to let him know once for him. You have to know, it's still unconditioned. Unconditional Jew yet. And as soon as you have to make a Shidduch, so let him know. And when he found out, he was in total shock. He says, yes, I'm not accepting. He chose not to accept his conversion and turned out to be a good. Everything, he lost everything, his parents were good. And it was a tragedy. People started dealing with things of Shashivas, it's Chavein, Shigam, crazy, you're losing everything, you're becoming a Goy. So his counter argument was, listen, as a Jew, will I ever make it to the top? Will I ever become Vice Rabban Kotler? Will I ever become a President of Shach? First of all, I'm already a Ger, this is already wanting at the disadvantage of me, I'm already a Ger. On top of it, I'm never going to make it, I'm never going to be tzaddik enough. But the fact that I discovered I'm a Goy, I'm a Tzaddik, I'm Noach himself, Chassidim HaSoylam. I don't keep 7 mitzvahs, I keep all the mitzvahs. Okay, Torah, Shabbos I can keep. I'm a guaranteed success. I have something in hand. Guaranteed success. Why should I give up something with Yeshua for a doubt? Which, that was his decision.
Huh?
No, he's a Goy. So that time this thing had happened, I used it as a material when I used to speak to my students at everything. Says, imagine they come, you want to test who you are. Suppose they come and tell you this, what would you do? Would you do the same thing she did? It's a good argument. It's an absolute good argument. You're a broken Jew, you're a Nebbi, you never make it, you never this, and you have to struggle. And here you be the top Goy, you become Noach Tzaddik himself. Chassidim HaSoylam. So why should you give up something which you have something in your hand? So usually people answer, no, I would convert. I wouldn't abandon Judaism. So ask them, you're doing it lishma, for the benefit of a Jew, or you're doing it because of peer pressure? Lachas chevrati, you know, you can't lose your parents, you can't lose society, you can't lose your friends. You me sugar. So they're fair enough to admit, I'm doing it really for peer pressure. It's not lishma. You see, there's 6 billion people out in the world. How many people come knock out doors to become converts? There's plenty of going to know what Judaism is, and they have nothing to their hand. But they don't become. So, till here is the story. Now I'm going to go further. And this is a joke, but this joke teaches us something. I said before a statement that the highest goal which we should strive to reach in quality Jew is that you should really believe that I'm the only child of Hashem. And Hashem's entire creation is in my hand. And I could destroy his creation, and I could build his creation. As the Mishnah literally says, I'm calling my Kayim Nefesh Achas Kilukim Olamonah. If you save the Jew, you save the full world. If you destroy a Jew, you destroy the full world. To save a Jew, you destroy a Jew, it's not somebody else, could be myself. I bring myself to the highest level of acknowledgement that I'm the Bechor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I gave Hashem a whole world. And if I step out of that, I destroy the whole world from Hashem. I give him a minimal world, or nothing. And this teaching has not been taught. Nobody imposed on us this information. This is said in Ramosim, Merumas, B'nibuchoy, Yisroel, but whatever I emphasize, speak alike, and write on them, is something which our chinuch had not been given. The opposite, the chinuch even to a certain extent covers it up, and even to the point to deny it. Why? Because it competes with our other growth. Because if my child, my father, should rest in peace, was a great educator, and I thank all my, whatever I am to him. But what did he tell me? If you don't learn Torah, you're worthless, you're nothing, you're a bum, you're a goy, you're a shagetz, you're nothing. That's what he gave me. That's what he told me all the time. Without Torah mitzvahs, you're zero. No, that made me learn. I didn't want to be a zero. But if I would have known my lectures, which I say today, I would say, hey, what are you talking about? I'm the Bukhara Fakur, I'm a vegetable, but Hashem loves me. Unconditional. He would give me two on my face. No, you're nothing. So mitzvah, I say the truth, but why does he deny it? Because if he would tell it to me, I would stop learning. I would be like this wild little only one child of all the mischief and everything. So we have a problem. We have a peer pressure against the value which you have to discover yourself and bring yourself up and to become it. Yeah, if you're not going to tell you what, let's go all the shit, stag in the learning. They're not going to tell you, stag and be a yid, appreciate being a yid. That's counterproductive. You're going to stop learning, you accept yourself no matter what I did. No matter what. So when it comes to a person to me, which is totally depressed and wants to take his life because he made some terrible, terrible things which he can't live with his guilt, and he sees no cure for himself, and is beyond cure, he's a total failure in society as a Jew to God and to people. He made a terrible thing and he wants to take his life. And he comes to him, what can I tell him? He says, you know, when you take a life, you took away a Jew, a whole world from Hashem. Hashem loves you. With everything which he had done. Hashem loves you. And that's the only thing I could say to him. He says, is it really true? And I have to swear him, I have to make him sure that it is. And then if I manage to give him that belief, then he says, well, okay, I see, okay, now I want to live, so how can I undo my damage? So now I want to do mitzvahs. I'm not doing mitzvahs because I have to. I want to pay back to Hashem. I hurted him. If I manage to bring him to his conscience, his knowledge, how important he is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is... I always tell the story. I used to go study regularly every Thursday morning in a prison, in a high security prison in New York State, Green Haven, and give shiurim there for Jews. It was a real... high security prison, 2,200 inmates. Right? And out of 2,200 inmates, there was about 40 God's representatives over there, 40 Jews. The 40 Jews were third Russian Jews, and third Israeli Jews, and only one third American Jews. That was the population of high crime. And there was sitting a guy, still sitting there, who got a double life sentence, who killed his pregnant wife. It was a whole story. The Flatbush and Shulman went crazy for insurance, he killed his pregnant wife. He got a double sentence, and he sits there in the prison. He became a Balshuva, and he learned, and said, he's the nicest person. He has to stay there for life, good, because he could go Meshuga again, kill somebody else. What is that? So when I went, and I took somebody along with me, who came along with me to listen to the lectures, so after we came out of the prison, he says, you know, I couldn't shake hands with this Vatsayach. I couldn't shake hands. Man killed his pregnant wife. I couldn't shake hands with him. So I told him, that's not Judaism. You couldn't shake hands with them. I think this is bad. This is Judaism. So come tell me. I asked him two questions. If this boy, this man, becomes sick on Shabbos, you have to be Machal Shabbos for him to save his life? Yes. For Noach Tzadik, you have to be Machal Shabbos? No. What does Hashem say? He's my person. He's my child. I've given up a whole Torah that he should stay alive. Hashem gives up a Shabbos, he can't shake hands with him. He's about tshuva now. Of course he has to stay in prison. He could kill somebody else again. He could go crazy again. But now he's about tshuva. He's Hashem's child. He has to be mechal Shabbos. And then ask him another question. If you would have been in the concentration camps by the Nazis, what would the Nazis do with you? Oh, you're not Jewish. You belong to us. You could kill cold blood your wife. You belong to us. Or would he kill him? So probably would have killed him. So if it was good enough for Hitler to be killed, why is it good enough you should love him? But after Yachal Kumach, it goes on him. Hashem loves this Jew. What he did is another problem. He went meshuggah, went crazy, he has to get punished, he has to sit in prison. But now he's on one child. So the B'nai B'chai Yisrael is the final medicine when a Jew is totally written off. If he can't look in his face, he can't shake hands with him, you have to dig out, no, he's Hashem's only one child. If you kill this Jew, you kill the whole world. We have been not been given this message. This message, there's a peer pressure against this message, rightfully. Because if this message would have been given all along, we would stop learning, we would have been mischievous. By the way, that was the purpose, I'm not going into detail, that was the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was because they knew how great they are, they were madly in love with Hashem, and if they took the rights, they took all the mischief against Hashem. By the way, that was taken. The second Beis HaMikdash was the opposite. Second Beis HaMikdash is a relationship, it's a marriage. The first Beis HaMikdash got destroyed because they took advantage of this message, B'nai B'chai Yisrael, and therefore took the freedom to avoid the Zohar, because they could do everything what they want, Hashem cannot throw them away. We are one. The second Beis HaMikdash was the opposite. They were so correctly keeping Torah and mitzvahs as slaves, but they were seen as slaves. They didn't feel the B'nai B'chai Yisrael. They didn't have any love with Hashem. And therefore both was destroyed. But which is worse, the second. If you do not have B'nai B'chai Yisrael, you have no chance to get back. Mashiach is not coming until we get back the B'nai B'chai Yisrael. That is the agenda today. So, my message is, Yitzias Mitzrayim is a relevant message today. You still have to be on the departure. You still have to cash in on this redemption, the Shogolone Begola Savaloy Savasel Mulvat Gola for Sonu Goali Moem. Not only our parents he took out, he took us also out with him. I also have been redeemed. And I have today go and grow in Yitzia. And what was the redemption? From Am all over to the top. B'nai B'chai Yisrael. And Mashiach will not come until we don't discover the B'nai B'chai Yisrael, how important you are to Hashem. And you're going to go to my joke. I have developed a moshul, which is really a joke, but I would like to ask you, what would you have done? The joke is as follows. Let's take a community of a few thousand people, wonderful, wonderful Haredi community, a few thousand, they happen to be all distant cousins, who all happen to share one set of grandparents 5 generations ago. What? Yeah, whatever. A good group. And we have amongst us a Shishivis, a Shekhanim, Babas, Mekubolim, whatever you want, the highest levels of Jews, everything we have, wonderful. And we're all preparing now for Shabbos, comes there in Shabbos, we all have to the mikveh, we're all running to go bring the Kabbal Shabbos, and all of a sudden 10 minutes before Shabbos, you have ramkolim, you have microphones all around the streets, and announcing, ladies and gentlemen, it has been discovered that we are all going. All going. It came to our discovery that our grandmother Sarah, five generations ago, was a goy. Was an adopted child and was never, and therefore we're all goy. So what's the emergency? Sunni Shabbos, all of you in Shemayim, we're going to Shabbos, Chayv Mitzvah. We're not supposed to keep Shabbos. So this Shabbos, everyone should make sure to make one violation. Because if not, we're Chayv Mitzvah. No? You hear the Ramko? What? I'm a goy? My father is a goy, my Rebbe is a goy, my Mekubel is a goy. Well, that's what it is. You have a big problem. So these Shabbos have to make one violation. I don't know what they're going to do with Kiddush, if the wife is going to be a Nesach or not. I didn't go into the sugya. Probably not to get Toshim, not to even avoid the sun. We're not going into that sugya. So we're all going. So these Shabbos, we're all ala parim, as they say here. We're all flat. The first time. Now, Matzah Shabbos, we make a general meeting, all the Gedolei Hador, all the Tzadikim, all the Tzadikim, what kind of joke? What is it? It's humor of Hashem to do such a thing, 5 generations to mislead us. And if Hashem did it, obviously he has a plan. Avadi wants before Mashiach there should be a Kila Kadosha for Bnei Noach. He wants to have a holy community of Noachites, Tzadikim. He needs it too. If not, he wouldn't have done such a joke with us. And therefore we decide we're not going to go against the plans of Hashem. And we decide if you're not going to convert, we're going to continue with Tzadikim, Noachs. Obviously, have a message for the world. Now we're going to go out, we're going to go to Texas, we're all over, there's Noachites that we're going to teach them, serve mitzvahs, and we tell me the Chacham, and we do other mitzvahs. And they all decided we're not going to destroy Hashem's plan, and we're not converting, we're going to wait for Mashiach as Tzadikim as Goyim. If that would have been the case, who knows, maybe one is going to be a story like that. And you're amongst them. What would you do? What will I do? Would you say, you're crazy? You gotta tell me not to convert? I'm going to convert no matter what. I have a 65 years relationship with Hashem. For 65 years I was screaming, Yannick Shmaiz, I have to love Hashem, unconditional, I'm willing to die for you, I'm willing to do very what you do. And now I just gotta turn back my back on him, I'm not converting. If I'm not converting, I'm taking away a whole world from him. If I do convert, the Rambam says love, it's a mitzvah to love every Jew, but there's an extra mitzvah to love a convert because I love him specially. Avraham Avinu was the first man who converted. He gave a world for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not a human being, he gave a whole world. I love him. Now I have an opportunity to convert and to give Hashem. I give you a gift, I give myself a whole world. I'm not a little Jew, I'm a big Jew. I'm Yubachar. Just you people decided not to convert. He comes with Kabbalah, he comes with philosophy, he comes with logic. I don't care. I'm going to convert. Will you? Will you pay a price? And what do you do if they tell you, if you're going to convert, you're chutzpahnik, you're eibachochem, you go against the Rosh Hashiva, you go against Moronam, you go against this. If you're going to convert, we're going to kill you. He says, kill me, but I'm not going to stay. Would you allow to be turned into the fire furnace? That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had an issue. Avraham Avinu is going to fire, but it wasn't a problem because of Nimrod and Terach. It was because of Noach. Noach says you're wrong. You're not allowed to do this. And he's right, Noach. I'm not going into the detail. Halachadik Avraham Avinu had no right to do it. So it's the Chasim Sofer. And Noach is not mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. It's what mitzvah in his life, not to commit suicide. And then Sofer says that was against Halacha. But why did he do it? Because he couldn't help himself. He was an onus. He was an onus, he couldn't help himself. I'm a 65-year-old Jew, having a relation with Hashem, you're going to tell me I should not convert? I can't do it. It's cost my life. I have to love Hashem, that's what you tell for a convert. And this is the message of this generation. The message of this generation is, I always say to every Baal Tshuva, don't stop the cup, don't stop being a Baal Tshuva. Keep growing and growing, not in performance only. In the appreciation that you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first decision is a baby decision which we made. It was baby revelation. But as we get a taste of Torah, a taste of Yiddishkeit, it's growing. That's my depth. Lira says, Atmos, Fatem Lochem, you become accountable. You can't grow in your commitment. Not in performance. That's the second part. Hashem says, performance, I accept limitations. I know that you're not perfect. Doesn't say, B'chol Medichem. But in accepting doing a Jew, that's no matter what price. So he could take the whole mitzvah in Shulchan Aruch, you have to fantasize all kind of dimyono, they're going to kill you, they're going to do this and this and that and that. And even then, I'm willing to do this for you. So if you have to fantasize, I gave a good fantasy. All of a sudden, I lost the whole world. And I would say, this is in the world. And Imam of this, and the Munash Shalom of this, and Mashiach. I believe with the full belief, Mashiach will come. Why? Afa Pishis Mameya. Also is delayed. Why? Rightfully. There's no reason you should come. What will happen? What would have happened? What will happen if entire Am Yisrael turns his back on Hashem? The Melchim of Mashiach leave us alone. We go to America, we're going to be like, okay, well, that's the state of Israel falling apart, and all Jews leave, and you lost them, and it's a democracy, and everyone welcomes you, and you remain one single individual Jew on the planet. Is there any reason Mashiach should come to who? That's going to happen. In course, even that should happen. Achakala, I'm awaiting. Come to me. I babysit you the world. I give you back your creation. I'm your Avraham Avinu. This is the literally truth. This is the literally basic truth. that that truth has been not given to us, has been not taught to us, has been not been educated us, it has to be your own discovery. It has to be Moshe Rabbeinu, with all the markers, everything which Oisus and Moisim. But the discovery, who am I from Hashem? 80% haven't made it. And the other 20%, 40 from clever, it has to be yours. It has to be yours, even today it's yours. Everything which you know, everything society imposes on you, nice and good and fine, that's all helps in the performance. But in commitment, what level you are it and only you are it. And therefore, if you know this, you really have respect of yourself, you could come to Mount Torah. By the way, that I'm concluding, that was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva teaches us after Yachu Komoicha, love your friends and love yourself. Ze Klal Golta, which is the Klal Komoicha, love yourself. Rabbi Akiva had this insight. Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Gadim, a child of a convert. He paid the price of becoming a Jew. He was an Amor Oris at the age of 40. You would never believe you could become a Rabbi Akiva. How did you become a Rabbi Akiva? He had respect of himself. He made a commitment to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Elokai Nishom Hashem Nesata, true I'm a Kamer, son of a Kamer, no Yichus. True that I have no Torah, I have nothing, but I'm your child. My Nishom is Nishom HaTorah. And if I'm your child, it's all the way. I'm when, therefore the Gemara calls Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara Menachos, one. Odom Echod Yesho Osir Nir Besof Kamer Doiris Akiva Ben Yosef Shmoy. He got a title as Avrom Avina. Echod to Avrom, Rabbi Akiva is also called Odom Echod Yesh, Rabbi Akiva. He considered himself I'm the single, only one person of Hashem. He had great respect of him. That was a Komeicho. And he became Rabbi Akiva. He became the big Rabbi Akiva. And imagine Rabbi Akiva at the age of 40, with a Kova Temel, a shepherd, comes into the yeshiva, comes a beginner. He promised to his wife Rochel that he is going to learn Torah. But at the age of 40, he got married, had a few children, and says, okay, now I have to fulfill my promise, I come and learn Torah. He goes to Sovich Yeshiva and says, what's the beginner? He doesn't know anything. And the Yeshiva interviews this Akiva and says, what do you think by age of 40? What is going to come out of you? And he said, no, I promised my wife I'm going to learn Torah, I have to keep my promise. What do you think is going to come out of you? He said, no, it's a children. You know, after a few months learning, I changed my kippah, my kova tembel, to a kippah surgat, or a kippah shkora. If you would have said so, would come out of the Akiva? Wouldn't come out of the Akiva. I'm convinced that he decided to go learn Torah. Ha'olech ha'kol ha'kupa, as they say here. I'm going for the entire Torah. I deserve the entire Torah because I'm an entire Jew. There's a Kobaycho. I'm Bni B'choyri. Sfartem Lechem. He counted himself to the highest accounting as an Neshama. Machlas Shabbos. I'm a product of Shabbos. I'm just like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a product of Shabbos. I'm also a product of Shabbos. And if I want Kol HaTorah Kula. And he got Kol HaTorah Kula because he had the highest level of the Recherets. And this is what I try to, we should not lose the excitement of upgrading our first commitment, becoming religious, becoming a Jew to Hashem, that grows endlessly to the highest level. And according what we're going to commit ourselves to upgrade, Hashem will come our way, give us Torah, deeper inside of Torah. This is the Rechel is called Torah. This is going to be Zerichus in the full Torah, and that's going to be the Kaz Mashiach Tzidkenu.